You're listening to Southside Broadcasting, and it's time for another award-winning edition of On Your Bike with the one and only Tony McDonough! Quite right, too. And Tony, you have brought not one, not two, but three sensational folk into the studio today. We've got Karen Poole, we've got Paul Sill, and we've got Adam Brooks. It's amazing. Would you like to formally introduce them, though? Because after all, we started off this whole podcast series, On Your Bike. It seems like only yesterday. In fact, it was August.
Time's flown, hasn't it? And look how far we've come.
Precisely, we'll be working our way through the year because it's the season review. But I think formally, you need to introduce these fine triple triumvirate of tenacious and top talent that you've actually got here.
It's a room full of top talent. Yeah. Yes, DJ included.
Oh my word! Where's the dinner jacket? Go for it. Anyway,
it should be ladies first, but I'll leave ladies till last because that's the biggest announcement. Mm. That's the big new news we've got. So the first man is Paul Sill, who's the regional team coach for 2015.
Paul, welcome to On Your Bike.
Thank you.
Good to
much.
See you.
Yeah, good.
Looking a little bit bemused there, but it's all right. Tony will guide you through safely through the whole process. And before long, you will be the next media superstar of Teesside and Team Manila.
Man in the middle is Adam Brooks, who's the Team What Cycle national team coach.
Adam, I think we've spoken before, and you've been on the show before from that point of view. This is the little broom cupboard that was actually done it. Welcome again to the whole sequence.
Excellent.
So great stuff there. And
last but not least is our newest recruit, Karen Poole, who will be the brand new women's team coach for next season.
Which is fantastic, because we were thinking, well, that would be difficult to actually get a women's team of cyclists together. We were working through that, but then suddenly magic happened.
We just had an article run today in Cycling Weekly, and he put it best because he said we were on the verge of not making it happen because it was proving that difficult. And then one article later, there's a 20-woman team about to launch ready for next season.
So, Karen, no pressure, but you realise you've got to be champions to at least match what's been done this year.
Champions in the northeast. We might manage that. Champions nationally, we'll give it a couple of years, I think.
That's the kind of approach. Exactly. That's very good. Paul, if we can turn to yourself. Paul, how did you get involved with this whole stuff? Because Tony will be taking us through the sort of step-by-step, month-by-month thing as we kind of use the time machine to go back to the joys of, January when the whole thing came through. I mean, what's your involvement been? I mean, have you always been a keen cyclist, or was it a case of, finally you found some place that appreciates your talent?
I've been a keen sportsman. I didn't take cycling up till probably 2005. And the bike had been stuck in the garage for some time then, and I did a course of coast with some lads from work, and that got me back on the bike, and every year it's grown since then to where you just do long rides on your own and with friends, to where you start doing sportives and racing, and to the involvement we have now.
It's interesting you mention that. I was speaking to our Book of the Month, Young Person's Book of the Month, host Jill Appleton, and she was saying that her husband Dave has similar sort of things. The bike is there, but he's thinking of actually taking out cycling. I suggested maybe he could become one of our sort of, Team Manila guinea pigs, really. You can actually see how he actually copes on that basis, just to see, as he takes it. I've also suggested to Rob Nichols, by the way, the editor of Fly Me to the Moon, because I know he likes his marathon running, etc. But he was a little bit bemused, but I said, well, it's a way of linking up, football and cycling, and even, bridging the gap between Sheffield Wednesday and Middlesbrough.
Well, sometimes you have to find something that replaces football when you get a bit older, and so it was a perfect timing for me. Yeah. The football went and the cycling started.
And I do hope.
And it's exactly 100 miles, Sheffield to Middlesbrough, so there's the perfect.
Exactly. Precisely.
Perfect race.
Craig Hignett, are you listening? let's move the microphone slightly to one side and actually go to Adam from that point of view. Same question, Adam, really. I know we sort of covered this, but how did you get involved? What brought you to Team Manila?
Very similar to Paul, really. Played various other sports when I was younger. Actually came from a coaching background in football, coached football at quite high level in some academies in the Leigh area. Worked for a lot of the local teams.
You can name names if you wish.
I worked for Hartlepool, Middlesbrough.
They need you. They need you now desperately,
Hartlepool. Yeah, I know they do, yeah. But I guess sort of cycling just took over, really, and that became sort of the main one. Did a lot of racing in the last couple of years and went on from there, really. And obviously the coaching background in the football just sort of stepped over into the cycling. Tony asked me to get involved, obviously way back now, probably this sort of time. Well, before this last time last year, so over a year ago. And I was just thinking about getting involved in the coaching side of cycling and things, and that perfect fit, really.
Karen, did you just answer the advertisement, or was it just a case of, please join us, you know, we need you?
No, there's probably quite a long story behind it. The history of me in cycling, again, I'm like the others, I've always been involved in sport. I've been in the local orienteering club, Cleveland Orienteering Club, since 2002. I was in the British orienteering team for a few years. Had a heartbreaking moment in 2009 when I missed out by a whisker on a place in the World Championships team. 2010.
Their loss, Karen. Yeah.
Their loss. I absolutely agree with you. And it was, yeah, it was definitely their loss. 2010, all these young guns, including another local lass who's now winning medals at the international level, came through. And I didn't get as close to the team that year and said, do you know what? I'm going to hang my running shoes up.
Put the map to one side.
Put the map to one side and see what this cycling lark is all about. And I went and did a coast to coast, not the same one as Paul, but one in the Pyrenees with my husband that year. Dabbled in the Helvellyn triathlon and did quite well in that. And went into triathlon for a year and suddenly realised that actually running wasn't the strong bit of my triathlon. Cycling was. So then I got into cycle racing. I've been in three different cycling teams before I came across to Manila. But Tony approached me in, it was probably July of this year, when I was the only female entered.
He's very persuasive.
In the Northeast Crit Champs, and said, Karen, what do you think about coming across? And I ummed and ahed, I have to admit, for a little while. I was playing a bit hard to get. Yeah. I had other ambitions. Yeah. But I think, you know, I was won over by this gentleman's charm and passion for what he's doing here. I think he's amazing, and I'm really, really excited to be involved now.
We locked Karen in the Blake in at Ridge. Lying in at Blakey Ridge.
Right.
George said yes.
Okay. Obviously, this is being recorded. Did you realise that, Tony? It could be used as evidence, but never mind. Okay, moving on. Tony, let's go back to January. We'll start off with that. I mean, your thoughts when you asked to put together this review of the year, as you said, where do you actually start from that point of view? Little did you realise then that obviously a little more than sort of 8-9 months later you would be sort of celebrating championships and so on. But were there ever any moments where you sort of thought in the darkest hours of January, you thought, what have I done?
I think after about 30 minutes at the first race at Croft, I thought, what have I done? Yes, but that was a bit of a...
Let's take us back to that. It's the Croft racing track, etc. Was it just a disaster?
It wasn't a disaster. It was just a very bleak day out on and off the track because of where it is in the time of year. And we just had a disappointing performance. It was simple as that. We had other disappointing performances through the season. It just happened that was the very first race, and we were all looking forward to it, and so we all came away a bit subdued.
Adam, were you there then?
Yeah, I remember it was an awful day. The wind was howling. As soon as I got on the track, I thought, geez. I realised I hadn't done enough work during the winter, and it was kind of the same with all the guys, really. I think it was a big sort of eye-opener to a lot of the guys who hadn't raced before. As soon as you got on the home straight, and you had a block headwind, and... It was a very hard day at the office that day.
Tough watching as well, I have to say.
Oh, clearly, yeah. I think the one time I came up to see you guys actually sort of having a training session at the new cycling arena here. It was quite very blustery there. I just about got out before the rains opened. But January, not an auspicious start, but moving on from there, clearly we see that you've also got heading into to the excitement that there's, I mean, the thing is building, isn't it? I mean, as a group. Team Manila is beginning. I mean, you probably need that kind of inclement weather just to actually build the team spirit.
It certainly helped with the spirit at Croft, yes, because it was sort of we're all in it together sort of feeling to it.
34th place isn't that bad, really.
Well, it turned out to be 34? A good thing because I think it kept us, not that we were getting those feet off the ground, but it showed us how much work we needed to do.
The official line, a harsh lesson was learnt.
It was, yeah, and it turned out to be the best thing for the season because it made us all raise his game on and off the bike.
And the weather didn't improve in February?
No, it actually got worse. I think it was pretty close to blizzard conditions for about half hour one of the races, but yeah, that just got worse and worse. But the race positions improved, so that the weather sinks and the game thing was something we weren't bothered about.
Paul, were you in it from the start of the stage? Or the,
yeah, so I raced three out of the four races, and my overabiding memory was, yeah, we did struggle a bit, but it seemed to me that a lot of other riders turned up on form. We had a mild winter, and I think a lot of people put a lot of effort in over the winter, maybe a little bit more than what we had. I think some people were training with power, which, you know, if you take only 10 to 15 of them lads, they'll be a little bit ahead of you. So I think there was a lot of people who'd done a lot of work in a mild winter that took us by surprise as well.
So, Adam, just putting the sort of flesh on the bones of that, I mean, people often sort of say, oh, it's just too wet to cycle, we can't do that. But as Paul's just attested to, and Tony have, you've really got to put that work in if you're going to actually be one of the winners, shall we say. I mean, what advice would you give somebody who's, you know, during these months where you might sort of think, I can't be bothered now? What should you do?
Well, I think the old sort of analogy that people come up with is the winter miles, summer smiles. So you've got to put that work in the winter to obviously get your rewards later in the year. And I think we're approaching this year a lot differently now. People realise where we were last year, that the effort needs to be put in. We can see already the lads are progressing this year. Obviously, we've got a bit of an involvement with some indoor training we do now at Watt Cycle as well. And that can only help, and that's going to bring the guys on a lot more, having access to some great facilities there. And it's just, I think the guy, you can see that we can see already improvements from where we were this time last year with people's training. It's just going to progress, and hopefully we'll hit the ground running come January.
Although not hitting the ground literally, because otherwise you fall off the bike then. Sorry.
Well.
Adam McManus gets a gold star for his time, I noticed.
First man on the podium,
exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. So a moment to save, I would have thought, Tony.
It was, yes, because we could see Adam getting slowly improving race on race, and then he got his tactics spot on. It was just edged out in the final sprint, but that was enough to know that we were able to compete. That's all I needed to know.
Little did you know how much he was going to improve, of course.
He became the top... Well, him and Greg Booth became the top point scorers, yes, for us.
So March, you decided no more Croft. Or at least the fixture sort of this took you away from Croft.
Yes, we finally had a change of scenery back to just up the road at Prizic. Mm-hmm. And I think the very first race was like a summer's day. It was a ridiculous amount of riders turned up to race in it. It was massively quick, the pace of it. and it was sort of like welcome to summer racing in the first week of March.
Mm. It's global warming, or not, as the case may be. Karen, were you following the fortunes of Team Manila at this stage?
I have to admit, I hadn't been at this stage. I was still based. I had a sabbatical in the south of England for about a year or so.
Somebody's got to civilise them.
I that was still while I was down south. I didn't come back up north until April. My only knowledge of Manila was because my husband Chris was a Skyride leader with Adam. And Adam and Chris were friends on Facebook, so my husband Chris was following Adam and the team on Facebook.
Media connection, then.
Absolutely, yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
We're going to continue our review of the season. We're going to find out heaps more, including, of course, the full sponsorship thing that we've spoken of. I mean, we refer to it as Team Manila. Is it still Team Manila that we're looking at, or are we looking at a name change?
It's a name change. We're on the last few days of Team Manila now, and it's Manila's going to be the club. The race team will be Team Watt Cycle that we'll go forward with, and we're really excited about the partnership.
Team Watt Cycle?
Yes.
As in WATT?
Yes.
Yes. I think it was like play what I wrote, that's why it was Team Watt Cycle. It's going to be grammatically incorrect. I thought, what sponsor would want that in the whole thing? Brilliant stuff. Tony, we're going to take a short break now because given that we're talking about last winter, really, January, February at least, heading to March, immediately after, of course, the Santa scenario, and the Glenn Hodge Band, made up of a single person, so obviously he's multi-talented or possibly schizophrenic. No, bless him, learning he's there. Single person, one-man band. This is the piece of music you brought along today for the show. Would you like to formally introduce it?
Yes, this is Glenn Hodge Band with his Christmas single, which is the official single from the Big Issue magazine. It's available for a free download via the Big Issue site, and all Big Issue are asking is that you can make a donation to their good causes for people who are a bit less fortunate this Christmas.
Santa Claus not only for the younger boys and girls, looking for a melody filled with magic of the world. Once a year he comes around and tiptoes in the loft, emptying a gift and a piece of fruit in your big red soul. Soaring through the network, very stealthy, very swift, pulled along by Rudolph, Dancer, Blitz and the other six. Come whatever, stormy weather, rain, especially snow, he'll be there with bells on and a big ho, 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 ho. Santa plays a cameo when Daddy-O's asleep, Mummy-O's in the kitchen cooking meats, lugging down the fireplace, make a wipe with the chimney sweep. Santa's coming round this time next week. Now certain things that must be done on Christmas Eve for toys, like brandy for the man himself and carrots for the boys. Leave them where they need them so it's easy for to see, that maybe on the mantle or underneath the tree. Santa plays a cameo when Daddy-O's asleep, Mummy-O's in the kitchen cooking meats, lugging down the fireplace, make a wipe with the chimney sweep. Santa's coming round his town next week. And now her indoors, old Mrs. Claus, his lovely, loving wife. She waits for Nick to turn before she sets in for the night. Settling the aftermath of making all those gifts, like cleaning down the workshop and ticking off the list. He's an expert in his field, the one and only Claus. Let's give it up for Santa. Let's give him an applause. Santa plays a cameo when Daddy-O's asleep, Mummy-O's in the kitchen cooking meat, lugging down the fireplace, make way for the chimney sweep. Santa's coming round, Santa's coming round, Santa's coming round, yeah, this time next week.
I'm thinking really you should really have a video of the assembled wonderment of Team Manila actually sort of pedalling away to that. Just a thought, you know, maybe instead of reindeer,
now,
cyclists.
Now there's plans being hatched for a sort of funny video, and also a filmmaker is coming up to make a little documentary on us that I've not told anybody about yet.
It's wonderful.
Just out of the back.
I can see Paul already saying, well, that'll be an increase in my fee then, and we've got image rights sorted out for this. It's all very challenging.
Yeah, I can see image rights looming this year or next year, should I say.
Well, if it's good enough for David Beckham.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, moving on to really the back end of March and the success of that. A few more name checks, I think, in addition to the fine soul we mentioned earlier. I think Drew deserves a mention.
Yes, he sort of
Drew Pidgeon, to be so precise.
Yes, he's got his little place in history as Drew, because he's the first ever winner to step on the podium. Something I'll not be taken away from him. And boys,
he homed in on it. Sorry, I couldn't.
Never thought of that one.
couldn't catch the pigeons.
Yes, and we're off.
Darn that Muttley and Dastardly. So routine. So you're all too young to remember that.
But he's everybody knows what a sort of strong sprinter he is, and that's he just needed to position himself in the race right, and he did that day, and took home the bunch of flowers. And he didn't take the prize money on because we claimed that off him. But
always important. April, yes. The team is starting to dominate. Things are looking good.
They were learning to race. That's we knew they had the ability.
Forming bonds, I see at the end.
Yes, they just needed the race tactics right, and that's what they were learning.
And again, when you talk about tactics, we've gone to Paul for this point of view. People often, certainly newbies to cycling, often get confused in terms of the importance of the teamwork. They think, well, surely it's every person for themselves. You just sort of pedal away like mad. That's not the case, is it, of course? You know, you have to sort of make sure that some people will lead, some people won't lead, and so on and so forth.
Yeah, the work's got to be distributed. You know, you try and save your good man for the sprints. Some lads, like to break off the front. you know, the physics of drafting and things like that are all going to assist the team when we work together.
Mm. You know, the reason,
conserving energy is obviously the big part for a cyclist for the final.
Hence the reason, of course, Bradley Wiggins sort of often sort of said, do you help him, do you not help him, etc., and all sorts of other areas, etc. He's going to be applying to join Team Manila, I'm sure. Let's move on to, or move back to Paul, actually, at that point. I mean, Paul, from your own perspective, back to Adam. from your own perspective, were you seeing the thing beginning to grow now? Did you begin to feel just slightly more confident than you did in the frozen wastes of January and February?
Yeah, I think it's like we say. So I think basically the season just started a little bit late, so the guys started getting used to the race and started progressing, looking stronger and getting used to that race and really getting up to that intensity. I think it's a big difference from working hard in training to then actually getting into a race, and you can't really replicate that intensity in training, so you do have to get them a few races under your belt to understand the level you do have to be at, really.
What's the level of crowd support like in terms of this? I mean, do they impact in terms of the races, or do you just a case of no, I just have to get into the zone and progress from there?
I think you zone out a little bit when you are in the race, and I think even if there was at our races it's not really a massive crowd or anything like that. It's mainly sort of other riders maybe hanging around we do have a good support as a team, and the other guys do hang around on the watch, which is fantastic, and that adds to the team spirit. But I think once you're in that race environment, you only really focus on what's going on within that race and the people around you.
Is there a camaraderie amongst cyclists? I mean, from opposing teams, or is it a case of no, you've got to be kept like hungry animals straining at the leash?
No, I think cycling's great for that. I think there's a great sort of social side to cycling, and everybody does generally get along. Other teams are quite welcoming, and you do sort of get along with other teams. And yeah, I mean, within our team particularly, we do have that great sort of team spirit, and I think that's what got us through last season, or what made us a little bit different to other people is people would hang around after races and support, where in some of the teams you would see guys would race, and then they would disappear and sort of leave the rest of the team to it.
So as we come out of April, we head to May. Karen, by this time, have you come back to? Are you sort of getting a flavour other than what you're getting for updates on Facebook in terms of what's actually happening here?
Well, my problem was that I had a little crash in a race in April.
So the other person's fault, clearly.
So it was actually absolutely exactly. The other person's fault. And I'm still suffering from that now, actually. So in May, for me, it was all about rehab, get back on the bike, focus on what I needed to do last season. So now I certainly wasn't racing locally. I wasn't racing anywhere. I still didn't have very much idea of what was going on.
When you are kind of obviously moving towards the women's cycling team that's around from that point of view, will you be adopting a kind of similar? I mean, are there any distinctive differences in style, in terms of approach? I mean, there's a long history. I mean, you go back to actually the 19th century, and The Cyclist was one of the top women's cycling magazines. I mean, it's not as though as the sport of cycling is something which is new by any stretch of the imagination to women. But from your own point of view, is there a different approach in terms of how tactically you would sort of set out the team?
I think the one of the problems with women's cycling at the moment is that it's still a lot smaller than men's cycling. There are maybe two or three teams that are very, very dominant, that completely boss races, and everyone else sort of rides as ones or maximum twos. So if you're not in one of those big teams, you've kind of got to look after yourself, and try and shelter in the peloton as much as you can, and try and make good decisions about which brakes to chase and which ones not to chase. But in terms of what we're looking at doing next year, we are looking at having a team presence in certainly all the local races and all, you know, races in the northwest and Yorkshire, and actually get that team ethic and racing as a team down pat very, very early, and helping each other out and having protected riders. That's definitely my plan. So,
Adam, if I can turn to you, interesting strategy from that point of view. What about the mental preparation? Do you focus much on we hear a great deal with athletes actually getting into the zone and actually focusing on that. Are there any sort of mental exercises that you go through, or is it pretty much you focus most on the physical and the tactics?
I think it comes down to the individual. I think individuals all have their own sort of pre-race sort of routine that they'll go through. I mean, I try and advise people to make sure you get to a race early enough that you're not rushing around. The last thing you want is to be forgetting things and rushing around and just arriving on the start line. I always try and get there at least 45 minutes to an hour before, get things sorted, set up, so I have a good time for a warm-up, get my music on, my headphones, and do a good spin and get in the zone a little bit, really.
Tony, May, the lusty month of May, etc., etc., what do the simple folk do, and other Camelot-based themed shows, none of which probably actually make their way onto Adam's musical choices, but we'll work our way through this. In terms of the CD North East series, the team's starting to spread points around. Chris Swales and Ben Sutcliffe claiming race points. All looking good, then, at this stage?
It was. It was nice to see that, because Chris and Ben were sort of guys who came at the start, and it was good to see guys who, because there were only about eight of us originally set this up, and it was good to see the guy, and Paul who's here today was one of them. It was good to see them initial group of guys starting to get a bit of recognition, and as well, I mean, there were a lot of talented riders, but it was just nice to see people like Chris and Ben get points on the board. Did the confidence a lot of good.
And Paul, obviously at this particular moment in time, are you beginning to dream? Are you daring to dream? Are you thinking, yeah, well, compared with where we were at Croft and so on, now we're beginning to start getting points on the board and more?
Yeah, well, a little bit like Karen, I was on a bit of sabbatical in May. I'd been riding in Mallorca, and so I was recuperating from that to start the race season again in like June and July, but I was keeping up to date with the results, and I knew the results were coming in. And the lads we knew that were going well. And you could see, you know, Cat 2s on the horizons of Greg and Adam, you know. And lads were riding towards the front and dominating races, like Ellis Hutchinson. He gets photographs all year long of him on the front, race after race after race. Dave Wynne, the same. You know, they were starting to boss races. I think it's been in a recent article that Adam wrote, you know, we were turning up on the start line, and other teams was like having a big sigh that we were there, you know, because they knew that it was going to be a hard race for them.
Is it sometimes best to actually lead from the front to be a pacemaker, or is it a case of, no, you wait, you let somebody else actually become a pacemaker, and then you actually take it? I mean, what's the sort of best route to go?
I'd always encourage riding to the front, because it keeps you out of trouble and you can dictate the pace. You can see the moves that are coming early. You just seem to have more of to be more in charge of the race, more control of it. It's easier said than done. Riding on the front isn't easy, and you're more or less, you know, if you're staying up there, your chances of doing well in that race are limited, unless you have an amazing engine. But you know, there's lads who also need to hide and conserve themselves for the finish, which likes of Adam McManus and Greg Bove do extremely well. You don't see them till the last two laps, and you see them working up through the pack, and next thing you see them on the podium.
Obviously, for any newbies who are listening, Paul, when referring to an amazing engine, doesn't mean you can suddenly switch to a motorbike halfway through the race, because you'd probably be disqualified.
No, it's just not rider, here's your dog.
Exactly. Tony, Malcolm Elliott, he appeared for the first time, I believe.
He did. He was a cycling hero of mine growing up in Sheffield. And I'd got in touch with him earlier, or eventually got in touch with him via his sponsor earlier in the year, because I was keen to take the guys out on some sort of
reward,
but partly, yeah, or partly exercise. A bit of a sort of team bonding.
And paintballing is so last century.
Exactly, yeah. So I thought, why don't I pick a Tour de France legend, local cyclist, as you do? And he come back, and he was every bit as charming and down to earth.
Could have gone for Gary Megson, but perhaps that would have had the same impact.
Gary Megson would have worked for me.
There you are.
Yes, maybe not for anybody else, but it would have worked for me. And Malcolm gave up his time for a day to show us around stage two of the Tour de France route. Took his time out to talk to everybody, sat around with us chatting after we'd finished, and it was just from a cyclist's point of view, a day we'll never forget. We're hoping, he's happy to do it again next year, so I think next year eventually the entire team will want to be part of it next year.
Excellent. Moving on to June, fast becoming the team to beat. Some riders actually, as you rightly say, worried that, oh Lord, it's Team Manila again. How are we going to actually cope with this? By this stage, I think also we're just beginning to talk about launching On Your Bike, the podcast. So we've possibly just met for that round. But again, all things going pretty well. Any particular highlights of June you want to draw attention to before we take a short commercial break?
We were having a few changes of scenery then. We were up in, I think, in Gateshead in that sort of time of the year, and that we did really well at the SASMI series in Gateshead, which is Adam McManus and Greg Booth did unbelievably well, but it was more the team performance that was going on.
And Chris Sleeth has appeared.
The Sleethinator, yes. Chris is quite an animal. Not everybody in the team is aware of him yet, because
Does he growl?
It doesn't say much, Chris, no.
We are. Like the Muppets character, obviously, drums a lot. You know?
When Adam was saying about what do you do for much of a warm-up, then Chris's idea of a warm-up is to turn up at the last minute with a rucksack on his back, right. Take the rucksack off, pin his race number on, and then appear on the podium an hour later, basically.
But then, as we always said, sometimes it's the outrageousness that actually wins things, you know, what the heck. Okay, short commercial break, then we'll be back, obviously, for the rest of June and July, the winning season, etc. More news, more exciting news about the new name of Team Manila, which, of course, will be Team...
Team What Cycle.
Team What Cycle, exactly. Exactly, as opposed to Team That Does Cycle. No, Team What Cycle, I think, works for me.
With a high-spec accommodation, all with ensuite facilities and high-quality care for residents provided 24/7 by qualified nurses and carers, Roseville Care Centre provides the perfect home for its residents' emotional, spiritual, social, physical and intellectual needs.
A purpose-built residential care facility in the heart of Ingleby Barwick, Roseville is a care centre which provides facilities to accommodate residential nursing and dementia service users, offering both short and long stay accommodation, as well as respite and daycare.
To find out more, please telephone 01642 30 81 88 or email us at roseville@prestigegroup.uk.com.
Roseville Care Centre. Care to call us
in today's crowded world. It's sometimes hard to get heard, and sometimes you need a little extra push to be heard. That's where Manila PR can help. We specialize in online radio and press for independent bands, with prices to match, and have been doing so for the last decade. So if you have a noise to make, make it with Manila. Visit manilapr.com now.
I know you're only a baby and maybe a little young to be making a choice that'll affect the rest of your life. But while your dad's out, I think we should have a chat. You see, I'm your mum, and I have to give you my best advice. I'm also a Borough fan. I go to every game that I can. They're my team. Have been all my life since my dad took me to my first game, when I was about your age. There's been ups and downs, good times and bad. But I wouldn't change a minute of my life as a Borough fan. And this is what I need to ask you. Should I take you to the next game? All right, I will. Then you'll be a Borough fan too.
I'm fired.
We'll tell your dad. It's character forming.
Yes, if you're on your bike, the podcast, because of Southside Broadcasting and more, of course. And in the studio, we have Adam Brooks, Karen Poole, Paul Sill and Tony McDonough. So we're looking at back over the sensational year that was 2014 as far as it was the debut season of Manila Cycle.
It was, yes.
Our Team What Cycle, which is great stuff. Little highlights of July and August, Tony.
July was starting to get... It was Tour de France time, really. It was much about what we were seeing off the bike, and I think virtually everybody in the team went along to see the Tour de France at some point in the route around Yorkshire. And the highlight of July was simply the Tour de France.
Well, it's nice to know they started promoting this podcast in terms of the little signs on your bike across the basis.
Yes, I saw a few of them, yes.
Karen, were you thrilled by the fact that it's Tour de France and Yorkshire? Do you think, done, those French, they've invaded again?
I think it was the most amazing thing that's ever happened to Yorkshire. I think it was absolutely brilliant. I loved every minute of it, every hour of it, and it lasted way beyond the 2 days, the 3 days when the cyclists were actually here. I wish they would bring it back every year.
I think it'll come back. I'm not sure it'll be every year, though. There might be sort of one or two other parts of the country, or indeed Europe, that might actually look for that. But equally inspiring, Adam, did you find it in terms
of... Yeah, it was fantastic. Myself, I went down and camped down there for about, I think it was 3 or 4 days, and took the kids down and everything. It was just a great atmosphere, just a load of families out, and people who just probably never had experienced cycling before, for them to experience it for the first time as well and be on the roadside, and it was just a fantastic experience for everybody involved, really.
And likewise, Paul?
Yeah, likewise, we went to Harrogate to watch it, cycle to different areas to see him go through different places. I think I saw him go through 3 times. The only thing I would say is I'd watch him on a hill next time, because it goes past pretty quickly if you're on a flat bit of road.
Very true. Ian Creek, I think, gets a name check, and indeed Richard Danks, as far as the team are concerned.
Ian was another one of the founder members, and he gradually improved month after month. Anyway, starting to pick points up in the middle of summer. Richard was a new guy on the team who was, I think his first race, he got shot out of the back of the race, and a month later he came back and he was, I think, on the podium.
And the Thomas Ord race...
I had to think back which one that was. Exactly. Yes, that was so many.
Thomas
yes.
Ord race, late July. James Wilson obviously connected with that.
Yes, he rode an unbelievable race. It was a bit excruciating watching the race, because he broke away, and there was quite a sort of like a tight bend and switchback bend, and it was like watching him go around in slow motion, because we were watching one guy catch him up, and he was gradually inching his way back, and he just caught him on the line.
Which, of course, leads you to that little line where you said, little did you know August was about to give even more memories to your good self.
Yes.
All right, go on, talk us through the magic of August.
I think...
The amazing August.
You spoke to the man himself, the Messiah, on the phone, who was sort of delivered to us and confirmed the title for us, basically, with his points. When Joel McGlynn came out on a training ride with us, and I could see straight within 20 minutes you could see his ability. And he asked if he could join the team, and I have no hesitation at all in saying yes.
Adam, when obviously a newbie comes on board, and the director sort of, I mean, it's a bit like saying, well, is he Lionel Messi in team sort of circumstances, etc., but has he proved to be as much of a kind of key part of the team?
Well, I remember at this point of the year I was actually away myself, so like the other two at certain times of the year, so I didn't really know about Joel joining the team. And I think I was in the south of France at the time. I did a bit of racing over there, and I think I was on Facebook one night, and I'd seen that Jesus, as everyone was calling him, had just won two races on the bounce, and I was thinking, well, where's he come from? So it was actually, I didn't actually even meet Joel until I got back from the south of France. And
clearly, you might have thought it was Jesus Navas, the Man City.
Yeah,
he's quite fast in his own way, but you know, maybe not. I noticed we're playing Sheffield Wednesday again in the third round of the FA Cup.
Yes,
it's a strange world.
Indeed.
There we are. and same question to Paul. Did you also...
I was in the same race. Yeah. The three races that he won, he entered three races, and he won three races, and I was in those same races, so I was right next to him at one point, but I wasn't a few seconds late because he disappeared that fast. I'd love to know the extra bit of training, just to where he gets the power from, because it's exceptional the way he goes away from people when the line's coming up.
417 points over the season.
Yes.
That's what you've pulled together, 417. I think you can beat it in the coming year. Can we go 418?
I don't want to set any targets, but I'll be surprised, and the reason for that is not because of anybody's ability, it's because we're having less sort of like entry-level riders, so it'll be naturally more difficult for us next season.
But
so
with a winning margin of over 100 points, that's quite significant.
We could relax quite a way before the end of the season, knowing that, definitely.
Karen, you're looking forward to the 2015 season, and obviously your role is... I mean, your official role, your title, is it head coach Team What Cycle, female division? Is that right?
Pretty,
that's okay.
Pretty much so, yeah. That's the plan. That's the role Tony's asked me to take on, and I think that's the role that I volunteer for.
And are there going to be ever any times when you go head-to-head with the males as well? I mean, will that be there, or will you keep it separate?
It's unlikely, but there is a possibility. we're trying to get as many women's only races on the calendar as we possibly can for next year. And both Tony and I are campaigning with race organisers in Yorkshire and the Northwest, as well as here in the Northeast, to make sure that our women can race against just women. I've been around the women's circuit long enough to know that actually the way to get women to start racing is to give them their own races. We can race against the Cat 4 men if there aren't any women's races, and if we need to do that, I think certainly some of our new women will give the Cat 4 men a run for their money. There's been a couple of times when I've raced against the Cat 4 men up at Prissick and got quite unlucky in not scoring points and not taking some male scalps. We've got some real.
I would not want to go head to head with you, Karen, but then I'm not a great key cyclist, so just, you know, end of.
There's a phrase that women like to use. We like to chick men. It gives us great pleasure.
Yeah. Chick men, did you say? Or trick? Yeah. Chick.
Yeah.
Fine.
Yeah.
Another whole new. We'll have to have a glossary. This is fantastic stuff. Great result, in other way. Any other sort of key points you want to actually raise at this point, Tony? From the season, or is it a case of no? We look forward to the future. I mean, if people are interested in joining the team, if we have any more Joel McGlynns out there, we might sort of be thinking, yeah, I fancy doing a training. I mean, is there an audition package? Is there ways in which they can get in touch with you?
It's we've got his team in place now for 2015.
Okay. Social media, they can follow your course via.
Yes, you can either, like I said, the club side of it is Manila Cycling, which is on Facebook and a website, and but the racing team is Team What Cycle, which is, if you just look for that on Facebook and Twitter, you'll sort of see what we're up to there.
Adam, what are you most looking forward to as we approach 2015?
I think it's seeing how far we've come and how far we've progressed, really. I mean, I know myself from one point of view, I've approached my training this year, now going into the winter, I know I'm a lot better at this point of the year than I was last year, and I know the other guys are the same. So speaking to the other guys as well, I know that we're all raring to go now come January, where maybe this time last year it was a bit like January came upon us and it was there all of a sudden, where now I know guys are ready for that and we're chomping at the bit to get started again, really.
And I've also demonstrated how you can download the podcast quite easily and find it quite easily on the whole site.
You can listen to every
wherever we are, exactly, as we proceed through the whole thing. And Paul, same question, what are you looking forward to? Winning again?
I've got a good squad of regional riders, some new to racing, some that have raced already, and some of the characters in there are really strong, like Neil Ross and Steve Howe and Jamie Cochran. They're going to be good fellas to bring on this year. You know, Adam did a fantastic job of lads who hadn't raced last year, and I'm hoping I can do half the job with the likes of these new starters. Luke Wilkinson is another one who's really, really strong. I'd be class it as a success, if we win some races and get up to a good category.
And Karen, presumably, just starting off the whole thing, presumably.
I think we've got a great year ahead of us. As I said before, we've got some hugely talented riders out there. I'm looking to get a squad of 5 or 6 riders up to Cat 3 very, very quickly, so we can take part in the local races in the National Women's Series. The first one of those is the Tour of the Reservoir in April. As I said, I'm looking to get maybe 5 or 6 of the girls ready and up to speed for that. And I have absolutely every faith that they are. I've got enough of them who are capable of competing in that race. Some of the others just enjoying riding their bikes and racing locally. So it'll be a very mixed bag, but a hugely exciting time for a brand new women's team, which is fantastic.
Absolutely. It's been a genuine privilege to share the latest edition of On Your Bike, the podcast, with your good self, Adam Brooks, Paul Searle, and Karen Poole. Tony, it's almost a done deal. Fantastic stuff all around. We look forward to more On Your Bike podcasts in the new year, of course. Any final festive message for people, other than if you're a cyclist, don't eat over Christmas? It's just basically sort of keep your weight in order. Now, what's the final message you'd like to sort of send out?
I'd like to say a thank you to yourself for giving us this platform. It's very appreciated. Thank you to all the sponsors who've made it possible, especially thanks to Joe at What Cycle, who's made next year totally possible and has invested so much into the team. And I just wish everybody a happy Christmas and good luck racing in 2015.
There we are. Shall we do it as a choral thing after four? Just wish people a happy Christmas from Team Manila or Team What Cycle. A one, two, three.
Happy Christmas, everyone.
From Team What Cycle.
On Southside Broadcasting, it's Tony McDonough with another award-winning edition of On Your Bike.
Parkville is a purpose-built residential care centre situated at the heart of Middlesbrough and providing personalised care in a modern and homely environment. Parkville aims to help older people to continue to live independent and active lives within the wider community whilst benefiting from the care and support of an experienced and dedicated team of nursing and care staff. At Parkville, we provide facilities to accommodate residential elderly and residential EMI service users. To find out more, please telephone 01642 223334. That's 01642 223334. Parkville Care Centre. Care to call us home.
Strokes affect 130,000 people in England and Wales each year. Here's a recipe that can dramatically decrease your chances of strokes.
Excellent. I better get a pen.
167 grams of calcium,
225 grams of magnesium, 1 tablespoon.
Remember, any more than 1 tablespoon could kill you. Any less than 1 tablespoon could kill you.
Right, what was
and
the recipe?
That's the recipe.
Oh,
if
damn.
You would like a more simple solution, you can always call Farmer Nord on 01670 519989.
All right.
Or visit the website farmernord.co.uk.
Let me see if I can jot that down. What was the number again?
01670 519989. Or visit the website farmernord.co.uk.
And how do you spell Farmer Nord, I wonder?
PHARMANORD.co.uk.
It's almost as if I'm having a conversation with the radio.
Don't be silly, that's impossible.
Farmer Nord, winning the war of nutrition.
You're listening to a Southside Broadcasting podcast. Southside Broadcasting is a media company which aims to provide a wide range of features from the rural, health and lifestyle worlds. You can regularly listen to entertaining podcasts with interviews and correspondents from Los Angeles, Nashville, New York and London. You can take part in our Book of the Month features, grab some great nutritional advice, enjoy broadcasts from the Great Yorkshire Show, the Lincolnshire Show, and enjoy local football reviews with our regular feature, Fly Me to the Moon. You can even hear a BAFTA award-winning director drive a train full of teddy bears. You can listen to these and many more podcasts at southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com. For further information on how you can join over 35,000 people who regularly download our podcasts, call us on 01642 854 742 or email info@southsidebroadcasting.com now.